Thank you, Cody. Good evening or good afternoon. I was a little concerned. I sent Cody a text earlier and asked him if he would stand up here with me and make the introduction. He never responded, and finally I got a response back that said, I'm in Michigan, I'm not really sure what you're talking about, but so there's a Cody that I've been trying to recruit that apparently is probably not going to help the recruitment, I appreciate the opportunity to stand up here. A lot of thoughts on my mind, and definitely really appreciated the services that we've had here this weekend. I never cease to be amazed by the leading of the Lord and the direction that He has. I started working on this sermon. I was telling my brother David Rudd, I was telling him earlier today, he and I were both talking, and probably 30 days ago, 60 days ago, I started trying to put my thoughts together and praying and seeking the Lord's direction. And my hope is, and I think at least what I feel led to share plays or connects in with a lot of the things that we've heard this weekend and that have been shared and been talked about. And so I feel like a little bit of a kind of wrapping up maybe some of the things and the services and the spirit that we've had here this weekend. I'm not a super creative guy, but I really tried to pull together. You know, our brother Dan asked me what is my title of my sermon, and the title of my sermon being Unwrapping Your Design, Embracing God's Gifts for His Purpose. And really, I want to talk about gifts that we have, gifts that we have but may not completely understand that we have. Ultimately gifts, and then ultimately responsibilities that we have as brothers and sisters of Christ. I want to start, and I want to dive right into 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, and I want to kind of use this scripture to kind of tee up what I'd like to share with you today and kind of draw our minds in to that message that I feel led. So 2 Nephi, 13th chapter, I'm going to read the 24th through the 32nd verse. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which He hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. You know, as I've prepared, this is kind of one of those sermons, and some of my brothers I know can relate, you know, where over time and over several weeks, just different things have come into my mind and different thoughts as I was preparing this. And standing up here right now, I don't completely know how it'll end. Now, it's not like the little book where, you know, you read as a grade school person where you can pick the end, yet it's not that. But I really, you know, as I've thought about this message for us today, it's really kind of reinforced to me as I stood here and thought about the words and the messages and the scriptures that have been shared over the weekend and what's kind of led up to this point. is this message and this idea of us is we have a responsibility. As servants of Christ, we have a responsibility in that very word, servant. Right? What is that service that we have? What is that calling that we have? What is that responsibility that we have? You know, I'm reminded, I don't want to pick on my Aunt Belinda, so I won't say her name. But, you know, I love, and my Aunt Belinda has always inspired me in an individual who is a hardworking individual. She is small and she is mighty, and I knew as a young man that she could get me. Right? But I also recognize, you know, each one of us are advancing in our lives. And that calling and responsibility for us is, you know, the day will come when my Aunt Belinda won't be serving food. Right? That responsibility for each one of us is the Lord is calling us in a responsibility to be of service. A responsibility that we have that sometimes we may not completely understand the talent and the gift that we have. So I want to talk about that. How many of you have ever done a DISC survey? Okay. How many of you did a DISC survey? Well, let me back up first. And the title kind of says DISC Personality Assessment Tool. And the idea behind this DISC survey is as an individual, you go in and you take a whole list of questions. And it can be, there's different DISC surveys, but ultimately you take a list of questions and it comes back and it says that you fall in a particular quadrant or section. A lot of times in DISC, it talks about that you fall in typically two sections. For myself, and ultimately what they do is it kind of highlights that you have three different personalities. Not that you have multiple personalities, Matt Gaynor, but, you know, ultimately you have what they call these personalities that are your external personality, that which you convey to people. So in my job and my responsibility, you know, I have a personality trait that shows as the boss or somebody in charge of something, you've got a different personality than maybe what is your inner personality. Would you agree with that, Matt? And so a DISC personality will come in and it kind of talks about these different areas. A D personality is an individual that's a driver, very competitive, they're doers, they get things done. My Aunt Belinda has D personality in her, get stuff done, right? And I appreciate that. There's also I, an influential personality. And what's interesting about it, and what this will say to you is, if you were to take a DISC assessment, it would come back and it would say, what is your dominant personality, or what is your highest level? And then it would say, what is your next personality, which is kind of secondary to your dominant? And then it kind of falls off into different ones. And so for me, I'm an ID. So my personality is influential, and dominant is my outward personality. I've taken this test multiple times, I've taken it a lot of times, and it tends to come back about the same way. And then my inner personality, kind of the person that I think I am or I see myself, I'm an IDS, which basically means my I is still dominant, my D is secondary, and my S is right there by my D. So, doesn't matter what your personality is, doesn't matter what mine is, it's not relevant to what I'm trying to share. But this idea that I want to spark inside of you is sometimes we have personalities or we have talents or we have traits that are very forthright, very apparent. And sometimes we have personalities or we have traits or we have talents that I would argue is very deep within us. Sometimes we may not completely know, we may not completely understand, or if I'm an introverted person, I don't really want people to see. And so I want to spark this thought, and I want to spark this idea, and I want to spark kind of this discussion around less about specifically a D personality being dominant, I personality being influencing, S being steady, C being compliant. Again, I don't care about those per se. But ultimately, what I want to drive towards is we each have talents, we each have inner individuals within us that the Lord is calling. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we're going to come back to this chapter. I'm just going to start here, but I want to kind of call out this 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter, the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Why did Paul write that? I cheated. I threw some things on the side there. But why did Paul write to us saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Do we have spiritual gifts? Do we have spiritual gifts within the Church of Christ? Absolutely. Our sister Debbie stood up and Diane stood up and gave a testimony about a miracle that had happened not that long ago. Our brother Dan. Right? Miracles do not cease to exist. The Lord does not seek to work within us. We heard our brother Joel stand up today and said, the Lord is good. The Lord is working in our church. The Lord is working in our lives. Do we face challenges in this world? Absolutely. These are unprecedented times. But I would argue that does not matter. What matters is the way of the Lord and the direction that he has for us and the calling that he's given us and the encouragement that he's given us. You know, Paul is addressing spiritual gifts, and we're gonna read throughout this chapter and we're gonna continue on. But you know, this purpose behind this idea that he's sharing is understanding the nature of, right? You know, how these gifts should be used. Now, it's not coincident. I promise I didn't deliver this message because we're getting ready for an election tomorrow, and you know, there's going to be a responsibility, and we're going to have a need of people volunteering for responsibilities. That is not the purpose behind this. The purpose behind this is the work is great, and the Lord is calling each one of us. The Lord is working in our hearts, and he's working in our minds, and he's working with our brothers and sisters. I appreciated our sister standing up and singing a song today. She didn't want to sing a song. She said she doesn't enjoy singing in front of people. But the Lord is calling and working in our lives, calling us to stand and sing, calling us to stand and serve, calling us to stand and witness. We heard several testimonies today of people that are sitting next to somebody in an airplane. Right? What is that influence and that opportunity that we have to share with others? We're going to continue on in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, through the 7th verse. And again, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. I find when I start talking, my mouth gets dry, and I just start talking faster, so... If I start talking really fast, you can raise your hand and slow me down. I wanna just kind of park here, and actually I'm gonna jump into the next screen, but I wanna pause here. And how many of this is a new scripture for you? Okay, good. I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. You've read this scripture before, you've heard this scripture, you've seen it many times. You know, and that this scripture and what it kind of reinforces for me today, this scripture, what it reinforces for me from this weekend that we've had, is the Lord calling us in our diversity of gifts. The Lord calling to each one of us and encouraging us. You know, the Lord calling us that gifts really exist for the common good. And you have a gift. You not only have a gift, but you have a responsibility. And so I'd ask you, you know, find yourself on this dial. Find yourself within one of these areas And you know, ultimately, what this would say, and I remember Michelle one time, I was talking to an individual about, you know, my DISC profile, and Michelle kept kind of coming back to and saying, hey, you know, so where's your weak spots, and what are you doing about it? Right? And you know, I kept trying to say, no, a DISC profile is really talking about where are your strengths, but she's right in the encouragement of, for each one of us, where are our weak spots? Our brother Joel, in his sermon last Sunday, he talked about, and I don't remember exactly, but he talked about the number of times that we open up our scriptures during the week. Was that right, Joel? And ultimately, you know, calling out, I think it said a minimum of four times a week is what really starts to drive this change within our mind. Right? Really starting to drive this just taking an action or just taking a step to actually taking an action. Right? And the same idea for each one of us is we have gifts. We have been called. You have been called. It's not just my brother Cody's responsibility as a pastor of the local, our brother David's responsibility, but each one of us as brothers and sisters are called to take action. We are called to stand up and do something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's good and it's great, and we have a responsibility to be leaders amongst this. Turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter, I'm going to start in the 4th through the 15th verse. All scriptures that we know and we understand, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our own ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You know, I heard our brother Joel give a testimony here this weekend, and it was a testimony that really stood out to me and most of you probably heard it, but his testimony was an individual had texted him and told him of some trials that he was going through. And in this testimony, our brother shared that, you know, like a lot of us, and I'm envisioning in my mind the text that you receive from someone that says, pray for me. And so what do? You pray, absolutely. Do you text them back and say, hey, I'm praying for you, right? It's a quick text. You say a prayer, and you keep going down the road. And you know, it sparked a thought for me, and as our brother said, you know, what did our brother say that he did? He called the individual, right? He reached out to the individual. Where are you at? What are you doing? How do you remove that sin that's in your life right now? And I think the Lord is calling us this weekend. You know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, we have to reach out and connect to our brothers and sisters. There's somebody out there that we can text, that we can engage with, that we can connect with. There's somebody that needs help, and that responsibility that we each have. We have a responsibility to serve. We have talents that are in us. We have talents and we have responsibilities. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read through the 7th through the 11th verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And again, you know, I'm just throwing words up there and throwing ideas that are in front of us. But, you know, these verses that it talks about, this prophecy, this discerning of spirits, I appreciated our brother Mike McGee. He shared the testimony that he shared today in our meetings last week. And he talked about this idea of this nail. The individual that was worried about passing away. And what he said was, is he discerned the spirit that was there in that conversation. So, how do we discern the spirits within those conversations? How do we do that? How many of you live a crazy, hectic life? You don't have to raise your hand, but I know it's true, right? We live lives that are distracted and challenged. We live lives that are chaotic and a mess. We live lives that... we're running one direction to another. And so how do you re-engage? How do you reconnect? How do you find that time that you can prepare your heart and your mind for that service and responsibility that you have? I think about it sometimes, and I'm an individual, if I see somebody broke down over the side of the road, I really want to help. What I find is sometimes that I'm just lost in my thought and where I'm at, and I'm driving by, and then I make an excuse. Well, I'm sure somebody else is going to stop and help them. Right? I mean, how many times do we miss the piece of paper that's right on the floor, right in front of us? And that opportunity that we have, and truly what I believe is the Lord is calling us, right? How we prepare our hearts and our minds. For me, it's had to be, is I'm trying to do more journaling. I'm trying to sit down and in the morning and try to detail out what's on my heart, what's on my mind, what's going on with whatever life is happening around me. It's not perfect and definitely in no way, but I'm struggling in my own life to find that opportunity to be of service for the Lord. But we have to find it, right? We have to seek out that opportunity to engage and connect. And I truly believe what I've heard this weekend and what I've heard in this time that we've had together is the Lord is calling each one of us. How do we set aside those distractions? How do we set aside those things that are negatively influencing our lives? Turn with me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Just going to read a couple verses, 11 through 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. You know these verses, and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfecting man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right? This verse is what stands out to me here, till we all come in the unity of faith. I truly believe the Lord is calling us to unify our faith, to unify our lives and unify our hearts. I really appreciate seeing each one of you here today. I look forward to seeing each one of you in the future. And that opportunity that we have as brothers and sisters to unify our hearts and our minds. I'm looking forward. I don't know what our brother David's going to preach about tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to that time that we have to be of service and the Lord calling each one of us. Turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I thought about closing with this verse, but I'm not. But it was one that, again, really stood out to me as I think about this calling and responsibility we have. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Right? This Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Right? This responsibility that we have to be of service, the works and the responsibility that we have to serve our Lord. Again, you know, just this idea, and I'm really kind of just wanting to reinforce these spiritual gifts that we have, the gifts of the Spirit. Right? The gift of faith. I am amazed every time that I can sit in these services and I can hear the testimonies and what is being shared. And what I find in myself is that I'm out and about, and sometimes, again, as I'm lost in my own thought, you know, how I share my faith, how I share my belief. Spiritual gifts are the power of God and that example that we've seen so many times. Interpretation, wisdom and knowledge, teaching and preaching. So I want to draw a picture in your mind, and the picture is up here, and it's kind of an odd picture. I have a guy that I work with, and we've been playing with ChatGPT. And we're working on a project, and it's this idea of, have you ever felt like that you're trying to build something at the same time you're in action, right? So this idea is that, you know, we're trying to build the plane as we're flying the plane. And so you kind of get this idea of, in your mind, as within our spiritual walk, sometimes we're building our spiritual plane as we're taking action, right? We're in movement, we're in flight, and we're in this idea of this kind of this visual concept of, you know, so many times in my own personal walk, my own professional walk, sometimes I don't completely know where that end may be. In our spiritual walk, we do know where that end is going to be or can be, right? But this idea is sometimes is we're building these things within our life as we're moving. And so the idea is, and the encouragement that I want to give, you know, I heard a quote from somebody earlier today, and I want to share it with you. The quote was shared with me that it's that, you know, we, you know, sometimes in our spiritual walk, we're taught what to believe instead of why to believe. And you know, I'm an individual that I'm a very accepting individual. I'm not someone who digs into the details. I don't enjoy the details. But this idea is that, why do we believe? Why do you believe? What is your belief? What is your testimony? What is that calling that you have? What was that time when you felt that spirit and that prompting come into your life? And how do you share that testimony, right? Taking action, the idea is ultimately, you know, we heard someone here today, I think, that said, you know, so now go do. We have a responsibility to go do, right? We have a responsibility to live a life repenting from sin, trusting in Christ, abiding in him, living a life with his people. We need community. We need brothers and sisters. We need each one of you that's engaged, that's showing up to the meetings, that's showing up to the services, that's showing up to the online service or whatever it may be, encouraging and supporting our brothers and sisters. right? Joining the church, engaging, communicating, connecting, and listening. Are you a good listener? Would you say? Are you a good talker? Yeah. Sometimes we're really good at listening. Sometimes we're really good at listening, thinking what we're going to say next, and not really listening. Right? Sometimes we're thinking about something else that we should be doing or need to go be doing. That calling and that encouragement for us today is how we engage, how we connect, how we listen, how we pray. We are a praying church. Very confident in that, right? You know, when we heard the need and the request for prayer for our brother, as a church, we immediately knelt down and prayed. I appreciate that, right? That example that we have so many times in my life growing up, that desire for prayer, seeking counsel, encouraging, sharing, talking one with another. Have you ever asked somebody, hey, give me some feedback on this? Have you ever asked for feedback, Matt? Is it fun? Not always. You know, sometimes your spouse is the best encourager, and sometimes your spouse is the best challenger within that feedback. Not that my wife would be, of course. Right? But that encouragement for each one of us to seek counsel, seek encouragement, and seek some direction and support. Start serving. God gives us those desires to those that want to serve, take a step, take an action. I want to close with Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Just going to read the two verses, the 10th chapter to the 24th and the 25th verse. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. My prayer and my love and support is for each one of you. I appreciate each one of you. I appreciate your attention, your prayers. And my prayer is that each one of us as brothers and sisters, that we have that desire and that we have that opportunity to take action. Thank you.